this podcast thanks to OFX, the experts in global money transfer. Transfer funds 24/7 with no hidden fees. The smart money's on the smart move. Go to OFX.com.
Welcome back to Money News right around Australia. One of the things that almost has seemed to be inevitable since the collapse of Dick Smith has been the fact that there would be a class action against the directors of that particular company. Now, this is finally coming because, quite clearly, many shareholders now believe that there has been misleading conduct in the way in which Dick Smith was being run in the months and even perhaps the year before its demise. It went into receivership in January 2016. Now, there's been a class action formally filed yesterday in the New South Wales Supreme Court by Bannister Law on behalf of its shareholders, basically alleging the company and directors published misleading and deceptive financial information to the stock market in 2015. Be interesting to see exactly how that goes. Let's go to the senior solicitor with the firm that's brought this class action from Bannister Law, Milan Čarkić, who is on the line right now. Many thanks for your time, Milan.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you. Can you just explain the shareholders who will join you on this class action? Who are they?
Well, they're a mixture of shareholders. Some of them are mum and dad shareholders. Some are self-managed super fund people. Others are more professional investors. And it goes all the way up to large institutions and pension funds who are investing many millions of dollars.
So is it only those people who may have bought shares in this period of time that you're alleging that the misdemeanors took place? Are they the only ones who are eligible potentially to join the class action and to try and apply for some form of compensation?
Well, at present, we're looking at a period from the 16th of February 2015 to 3 January 2016. So at the moment, we're looking for shareholders during that period. That's not to say that down the track, as we know more about this case and we obtain internal discovery and more documents, that period won't increase. But for the time being, our best estimate of wrongdoing, I think, occurred between 16 February 2015 and 3 January 2016.
Okay, but my point is, if I was a shareholder before then, would you consider me to be eligible to join the class action? Because given the fact that I could have had the opportunity to have sold, had I had more or better information about the company, or is it only investors who would have bought shares during that 1 year period or close on 1 year period that would be eligible to join the class action on the basis that they bought the shares, according to your allegation, with not a full suite of information available?
Well, we're only looking for people who did purchase in that period. I understand that on some views there may be a case to be made out for people who owned shares before the 16th of February 2015 and were denied the opportunity to sell those shares had they known the true picture of Dick Smith. Our analysis of the situation is that that's a very difficult case to prove. And we're choosing to run the case as a non-disclosure of price-sensitive information for purchases during a period, and we'll be claiming redress only for those who purchased within the period that we're seeking.
I understand that you're going pretty much after the insurance pot because there's around $150 million insurance policy presumably covering directors, but you're also individually going to target the former chief executive of Dick Smith, Nick Abood, and also the former chief financial officer, Michael Potts. But you won't go the board, is that correct?
Well, we've only picked two directors at this point in time, and they're the ones we consider to be the most likely or the easiest targets for the time being. There's nothing to say as we find out more of what went on internally and we have gained access to internal documents that won't expand to every other director at Dick Smith. But for the time being, we're choosing those two because we think that their heads stick out above the ground the most.
Okay, and just explain this this insurance policy. Who does it cover? Obviously, in the event of some form of action against those directors, is it that insurance policy that would cover them?
Yes, well, the insurance policy covers all the directors of Dick Smith, and it also covers the company. Now, we believe that our claim enlivens that policy and that we will have a claim against that $150 million. So, essentially, the shareholders of the company are suing the company in liquidation plus these two directors. So we believe that that policy will respond to this claim, and we hope to receive as much of that policy as possible.
Because clearly the shareholders, I was going to say, are not likely to get terribly much back in the event that the company has collapsed. That's one thing that I think is pretty obvious. So therefore, those shareholders who have purchased during this period of time at least, their best chance of getting any compensation or recompense is to actually go the insurance policy, which of course is not available to the company or the receivers generally.
Well, first of all, you've got it's quite a difficult, complex situation. You've got a syndicate of banks who have who are secured creditors of Dick Smith, and they're still owed a significant amount of money. My understanding is that they've commenced proceedings, and they're also looking to recover against this pot of money. Then we also have the liquidators, who are also suing the directors. And they're trying to recover as much money as possible so that they can return money to secured and unsecured creditors as part of their function. So there are competing claims against this $150 million, and it's a question of who gets to it first.
I'll tell you what, it's really interesting, all of this, and it's, as I say, almost inevitable that something of this nature was going to come about. The senior solicitor with Bannister Law that is raising this particular class action inside the New South Wales Supreme Court, and Milan Čarkić, I appreciate your time on the program this evening.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Now your money is truly mobile. Whether you're paying for a wedding in Spain, education fees in the US, or medical procedures in the UK, you can do it all with the OFX Global Money Transfer mobile device app. Keep an eye on exchange rates, view currency charts, set rate alerts, stay up to date with market information, send money securely, track your money, and be notified every step of the way. The smart money's on the smart move with the OFX Global Money Transfer app. Go to OFX.com.